started this morning. Page 113 in your book, 113, as we stand and sing glory to His name this morning. If you're visiting with us, fill out a visitor's card there in front of you. And when the offering's passed, you can put it in the plate there this morning. 113.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, and glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. This fountain so rich and sweet, cast up your soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name.
Beautiful, you may be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Just to let you know, I had an absolute beautiful 3 days down in the Smoky Mountains. And maybe I can get some of my shots on a CD or something and put them on the screen so you can see them. Been a long time since I've seen that much vivid color. And I just wanted to stay. Because nobody here looks as good as that. Just thought I'd let you know, God is so good. And I heard so many people talking about Him taking His paintbrush and painting them, you know. And I don't know about that paintbrush thing, but I know He put it there, and I got to enjoy it. So maybe I can show you some of the shots that I got. I don't want you to forget tomorrow night. You got to remember that. You got to come out. Now, you don't. If you don't have any small kids, it's okay. Come out anyway. You can mingle with some small kids, okay? We're going to have trunks open everywhere, and we're going to have candy everywhere. We're going to send everybody back home sweet and on a high. So if you've been wanting to get on a high that's legal, come on out and have a bunch of candy. It'll do it for you. And don't forget that. And tonight at 6 o'clock, we'll be back for an all-song service. If you would like to sing a song, you bring it on and let's sing it. One of the best services that I can think of during the year is our fifth Sunday night singing. That's when everybody gets a chance to sing, and it's just good old heartfelt singing. We could pay a $1,500 for a good quartet to come in here and sing for us, but when you come in here on a fifth Sunday night, it'll do more for you than a $1,500 quartet or even a $3,000 quartet. They'll never be here. I can assure you of that, okay? Yeah. Okay, I think I'm just going to receive the offering right now before I share a song with you. And Chris is ready. Yeah. It's good to have Nick Coldball with us this morning. Yes. Okay, let's remember that. And there's a few other people thinking maybe the flu is going around right now, so we might have a few out with the flu this morning. But let's just remember each other. And if you don't see someone here, give them a call and let them know you missed them, or drop them a line. A text. Text seems to be real good nowadays. I think we live by the text, right? Not necessarily this text, but you know, the text on your phone. So let's reach out as best we can. We got the technology, we need to use it, okay? John, would you bless this offering, sir? Amen. Once in a while, they beg me to sing a song. I love to watch y'all smile. I do. So every once in a while, I say something that'll make you smile. Not that some of you don't always smile. You do. And I like that. And you can't always have a smile. Sometimes there's a reason not to smile. But that smile can always come back. Amen. The Lord wants that. He does. I'm going to sing this song because this song actually tells you how I feel sometimes, especially like the last few days. I get overwhelmed at how good God is to me. This morning when I went out, I was a little upset at the Johnson City Press carrier who did not deliver my paper on time. And when the next 15 minutes came and I still didn't get it, I was a little more upset. And the next 15 minutes came by and I was more upset. But by the time I got so upset I didn't know what to do, I went out the door and I looked to my left toward Elizabethton, because you know that's where the Lord's coming back, don't you? From the east, yeah. Well, I looked back that way, and wow, I was just reminded of how God says good morning. How many of you all see that eastern sky in the morning? Goodness gracious. And Tom even commented on it this morning. It was, if you'd like to see it, I have it on my phone. If you'd like to see it, just let me know, and I'll give it to you. But I am just so thankful for what God does for us, for me individually, and for us as a church, for my family, and I'm sure that you do too. One of the best things He ever did for you was when He went to Calvary. He did. Hit it, boys.
I was lost, but you knew where to find me. I was hungry, you were bread for my soul. I was thirsty, and you gave living water. You were my shelter when I had no place to go. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Sometimes all I do. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. Oh, and sometimes I lift my hands to you. And sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why. When I think of the love that you've given, when I think of the price you paid for me, then all the trials on earth, they just seem like nothing when they're compared to dark Calvary. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Oh, praise him, yeah. Sometimes just to speak your name. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. Oh, and sometimes I lift my hands to you. And sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why. Say it to him now, say it to him. That's why sometimes I just want to praise you. Yeah, come on. Sometimes just to speak your name, Jesus. Sometimes I just want to thank you. Without asking you for a thing. Oh, and sometimes I lift my hands to you. And sometimes all I do is cry. Everything that I have, I owe to you. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why everything that we have, we owe to Him. Lord, and Calvary's the reason why.
Now this morning, if you're saved, when you take your last breath, you're going to do something. You're going to fly away. Isn't that going to be wonderful? That's going to be a day. Won't need any tears. That's going to be a happy time. We're going to sing about it. 133 in your book. You got to stand on this one now because you got to get out there and get with it. All three verses we're going to sing. We're going to fly away.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Sing it now. I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah. Bye and bye. I'll fly away.
What a day that'll be. Amen.
We just had a funeral a couple weeks ago. A 98-year-old woman who would sit and sing that song. And when she would sing it, she'd just raise that little hand and wave that little hand like, I can't wait to fly away. Love the Lord and ready to go. Uh-huh. Well, if you... have your Bibles and you'd like to turn to John chapter 8 verses 1 through 11, you can do that now, or you can watch the board up here and read along on the board. That'll be okay too. Or if you have your Bible on your phone. I used to discourage that, but I've given in. If you have it on your phone, read it from your phone. Just make sure it's King James Version. Okay. Now, if you read it from the NIV, you'll just miss a word here or there, you know, but we won't fuss at you for it. It's just that any time you hear something coming from this pulpit, it'll be the King James Version, okay? I think it is the most complete, most accurate, and most everything else, so just remember that. If you go to get a Bible, buy you a Bible, ask them to show you a KJV. Right? Yeah. I've got the KJV, I've got the New KJV, I've got the NIV, I've got the English, I've got a few different versions, but when I read to come here to stand this pulpit, I read from the King James Version. Okay, look at verse 1 of chapter 8 of John. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, not like some of us who lay in bed half of the day, right? He believed in getting up early and getting with it. So early in the morning, he came again into the temple. Isn't that a wonderful thought that the first thing you do is you go to the church? That'd be great, wouldn't it? Well, you can go to church right there in your own house, you know. Just get in touch with the Lord and you'll be in church, okay? So he went to the temple early in the morning, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. Something was going on that if he went early and they came early to hear what he had to say, there was something going on that was different and something that the people needed that was there. We know that for a fact. So they were there and he taught them. Boy, wouldn't you have loved to have been taught by the Lord himself? Well, we have that right here, and through and by the Holy Spirit, he teaches us daily as we read and study the Word of God. He does that. But then you've got those people who want to mess everything up. So the scribes and the Pharisees come in. Well, things are a-changing, right? But not like they hoped it would. Brought unto him a woman, the scribes and the Pharisees, the rascals. They brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Now, don't get into the story of the woman. That's not where this is at all. The story in this is what he's going to teach them about the difference between law and grace. That's where it is. So it says, and so he, the Bible says she ought to be stoned to death. How would you like to live like that? That when you sinned, you had to go with the penalty right then. And if it was stoning, by the way, it was most time, it was stoning to death. It'd be a lot of rocks going, right? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. They were setting him up. But Jesus stooped down. Sometimes when I read, I get into my message and I mess the whole thing up. Hopefully I'm not going to mess anything up for y'all today just by stopping and adding a little bit, okay? So he says that they might accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He wasn't in their conversation, folks. He wasn't in it. He wasn't there to try to prove anything they wanted to hear. He was in his own world at the time, okay? So he stooped down as though he never heard them. So when they continued asking him, just couldn't give it up, could they? People who want to cause problems don't give it up. They don't give it up. So he says, and they continued asking him. He lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now don't settle in right there because it goes on. And again, he stooped down. Wonder why? Don't you wonder why he stooped down? I don't think anywhere else you'll find this. Well, I'm going to share what the Holy Spirit gave me, and then you can do what you want to do with it. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Isn't that great? There was some conviction going on here. When Jesus comes around, there'll be conviction. Now what you do with it is up to you. But convicted by their own conscience and went out one by one, just trickled on out and left. Beginning at the eldest. I thought that was neat. They were a little older and they understood quicker. You know, young people think they know it all and they know it quicker. No, they don't. No, us older ones pick it up quicker. We've been there longer, right? We see a little bit more. Anyway, it beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Jesus, I'm going to read it again. You all didn't get it, or you're dead. Jesus was left alone, and what's the "and," folks? It's a mayonnaise on a tomato sandwich, for heaven's sakes. It's what brings it together. And he says, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. I don't know if y'all know or not, we're in the midst right here. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? I don't know if he gave her time to answer that question or not. Doesn't matter, because she could handle two questions at once. She was on a roll right here. This woman was on a roll. She was where she needed to be. She was in the presence of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? They couldn't. They left. They were gone. They'd already done all the damage they could do. By the way, they couldn't condemn her anyway. They could only judge her in their eyes. They couldn't condemn her. And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. But she'd say, wait a minute, Lord. You understand this is true. You understand this is true. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The difference in law and grace. Let's ask the Lord to bless this message this morning. And every one of us, as we leave here today, we leave here so blessed by the truth of the Word of God. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that we have received already this morning through and by your word and the songs that we have sung for many years. We thank you, Lord. And one day we will fly away. We'll fly toward you. Lord, I just pray that while we're here, we make sure that we try to bring others with us. And if there's anybody in this congregation today that is not saved, not ready to go, I pray, God, today will be that day. We'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, makes a clear distinction between law and grace. Some folks never get it, but when you do, you are so blessed to have gotten it. And I'm going to try, by the help of the Lord this morning, to give you information from God's Word that will help you to understand it. I pray that you'll ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and show it. Now, the Bible says the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't answer all your questions about the difference between law and grace. I understand that. Just want you to know that that verse of Scripture is there to show us that there was a law given by Moses, and then the law and truth would come by Jesus Christ. We're not to understand by this message today that there was no law before Moses, because there was. Moses wasn't the beginner of the law, or that there wasn't any grace before Jesus Christ, because we know that's not so either. There was grace, always, always. All you have to do is go back to Adam and Eve to get that. Adam's sin was a transgression of the law of God. That's what it was. It's what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. And grace, at that same time, was revealed when Adam and Eve were spared the penalty of that sin that they had committed. So we see them both. The law was not given to the Gentiles, though. You need to know that. When you read the Bible, be sure you understand that the law was not given to the Gentiles. The purpose of the law was that men might know what their sin is, in case you don't recognize your sin. The law of God will show it to you. Some preachers have said, just look in the looking glass, because the Word of God is a looking glass. And you look into it, and you find that according to the Word of God, you're not where you ought to be, and there are some things there that you transgressed against the law of God. So it's a looking glass. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Grace, which is God's gift, it's a gift especially for you, and you and you and you. You don't ever separate what God gives to us and make it for other people. It is for you. And you don't need to act like, well, I can't be selfish about this. You don't have to be. God gave it to all. Let every man deal with his own gift. Whatever God gives you, you deal with that, okay? So here's the contrast. There's always a contrast. If there's a difference, there's a contrast. I find that out when I'm shooting with my camera. I have a fairly quick eye to get the contrast of the shots. And if I don't see the contrast, I don't mess with it, because it's a dead photo as far as I'm concerned. But there's a contrast. Well, there's a contrast here also. And here's how you get it. You'll remember that the first miracle of Moses was to turn water into blood. Do you remember that? You remember when he did it, don't you? Well, you see, that was typical of death. But the first miracle that Jesus did was turning water into wine, which is typical of life. So we see the difference. Law, death. Grace, life. And the Lord didn't come to give death. There's nothing natural about death, folks. So the next time you go to a funeral and look down at someone in a casket, do not say they look so natural, because that's not so. They don't look natural, because death is not natural. God didn't bring death. He brought life. And so man, by his sin, of course, we know the penalty, and God had to write it down. He had to deliver through it. But at the same time, his grace said, well, I've got a plan. God's got a plan. So you're not left out there without a hope. Amen? Now, the law demands that you be holy. It demands that. Has always demanded holiness. That's why these folks who came in here, these scribes and Pharisees could come in. They were holy. You know, they were holy in their own eyes. And they wanted to take what they knew from the Old Testament scriptures and place it on this poor woman and act like they were the holy ones and she was the unholy one. They were the ones who would decide who's holy and who's not. Well, the law did demand holiness. But they couldn't bring it. The law can't give you what it demands. Grace, on the other hand, gives the holiness. Not anything you did. Remember this. Grace is the unmerited favor. You didn't do anything to get it. It's yours because God wanted to give it to you. So when grace gives holiness, you don't have anything to do with it. You just take it. You accept it. That's what it is. So here in this scripture that we read today is an illustration of what I'm telling you right now. And we're going to take a look at this lady as she was supposed to be and what she was. There's always another side, right? She was a sinner. Let's just call her what she was. She was a sinner. There was no denying it. They said it. She was taken in the very act. So there's no denying that she was a sinner. She was condemned to be stoned to death by the law. That was it. There wasn't any backing out of that. By the law, she was a woman standing there with no hope that she was going to get out of this. She was going to die. She was as good as dead standing before these people because they'd already said, you were guilty, you're a sinner, you're supposed to be stoned to death, and according to the law, you will be stoned to death. But remember what's going on here. By the way, if there is guilt, the law doesn't have any choice. You can't make the law be something it's not. The law is exactly what it is. And if the law says you're going to be condemned and stoned, you're going to be condemned and stoned. But where do you live? Do you live by the law? No. No, we don't. You see, the wages of sin is death. That's the law. The wages of sin is the death. Now, the law, believers wanted to trap the Lord at this particular time. So, since that's what's going on here, let's go forward now because we've seen a little bit of the contrast between law and grace. Let's see the woman not under the law, because under the law there is nothing else to say. You can't help her. You can't even go to the courtroom with her and say anything good on her behalf. I've had people come to me and say, I need you to come with me to court and say some good things about me or this person that they're taking to court. I need you to say something good about them. That might help in our everyday court. It might help. I don't know. The law is the law, you know. But if you could say something for somebody, it might cut their time from 5 years to 3. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. I can just tell you that according to the law, you can't do anything to help anybody, and they're helpless themselves. So let's put her where God would want her. Let's put this sinner, who is still a sinner now, not changing what she is. She's a sinner. But let's put her under grace, because that's exactly where she needs to be right now. Wouldn't you agree? If you were standing in the midst of God and everybody else and somebody was pointing a finger at you and screaming it loud so that everybody at the mall could hear it, they're a sinner. Here's what they did. Caught them in the act. Here's what it is. And you're saying, goodness gracious, I'll never live this down. I have no hope. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah, you do. Let's put her under grace, okay? The law and truth came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law says, stone her to death. Right? So what did they do? They asked the Lord, says, now what do you say? Because they knew him. They knew what he'd been doing in the countryside. They knew how he felt about children. They knew how he felt about those who followed him. They knew how he loved people. And so they said, what do you say about it? Now, we know that you're supposed to live by the law of Moses. We know that. So what do you say about this? Well, they're actually saying, the law says she's to die. Then can you go against the law and say, no, she's to live? Who are you to say that she should live when the law says she should die? Well, let's just see, okay? Because here's where that mystery thing comes in. I've heard this in all of my 150 years of living, seems like it sometimes, that I've heard this preached on, and I've heard how he got down in the and took his finger and marked on the ground, and I've heard all kinds of stuff that he probably wrote or could have wrote or whatever, you know. And what I understand from this is nobody knows what he wrote in the ground. But I got the Holy Spirit's so good. The Holy Spirit is so good. So when he stooped down and took his finger and wrote on the ground, I'm wondering, well, in my curiosity, I would like to know what he wrote anyway, or did he just draw a picture? You know, I don't know. But I know they were trying to get him to say something. Did he say anything? He didn't say a thing to them. He stooped down immediately and began to take his finger and write on the ground something. Don't know what. I don't think it matters because it didn't tell us. If it would have mattered for our eternity, we would have known. He would have made sure it was in here. I guarantee you. They just were only trying to trap him. I don't know if they even cared what he was going to say, except that he would say, no, you don't stone her. Then he would be against the law. Did he know he was being trapped? Oh, yeah, he knew he was being trapped. So if he said anything, they wouldn't have believed it. I always tell people, don't say anything. Don't excuse or expect anything, because your friends don't expect it and your enemies won't believe it. Right? So let it go. It's okay. You don't need to say anything about it. The God of heaven, is it God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Then the God of heaven stooped down. Are you with me? And put his finger in the dust. This is the same dust that he created man with in the first place. So he's right here in the midst of this woman that's being accused so that she should die. And he's doing something for her and for them that only they could understand, but they all of them won't understand it. I got a feeling this woman understood what happened to her after this thing was over. So this same finger that touched that dust was the same finger that created man and woman of the accusers and the accused. It was the same dust. He was bringing people together by one thing, the dust of the ground. Now you can add what you think he wrote in there. Doesn't make any difference. Some man even said he thought he wrote the words to Amazing Grace. The words to Amazing Grace would have been beautiful right there, I'm sure. But I'm not telling you did, because the Bible doesn't say he did. I'm just telling you that he knew who was made out of the dust, and he knew that this woman who was standing here in a very guilty spot, who is being shamed to no end, and he's saying, I'm going to take care of you because I'm the one who created you. And I'm telling you right now that you don't have to be in this spot. You don't. You watch what I'm going to do. That's what he said. That's what I'm saying, he said. You watch. I'm going to take care of you right here. Does God take care of you? Yeah. Yes, he does. His answer wasn't in what he could say. In fact, his answer was not even in anything he could do right here today. even though he did something for the accusers and he did something for the accused, this wasn't where he gave his final answer. You remember that show? Is that your final answer? Well, his final answer was to go to Calvary that day. That's the reason I sang that song earlier. His final answer was to go to Calvary. Yeah. That was his answer. Amen. Think about that for a minute. That's why next time you want to praise him, go to Calvary. Yeah. Next time you want to say thank you, Lord, go to Calvary. Because Calvary is the reason why we are where we are today and why we have what we have. So now that's in verse 6. Go to verse 7, if you will, because in verse 7 he says this. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without. Now here he's going to reveal some things that he hasn't revealed before. God has revealed things to me. God has revealed things to you. He is a revealer. He is. And so he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. First cast a stone at her. Now what did he reveal by saying that? Well, only they could do the revelation of it. Only they could reveal what they were. All he did was point to them and say, okay, here's where you are and here's where she is. Now, if you're going to be honest about yourself, you find out what you can do. Are you without sin? Well, they knew they weren't without sin. But you see, mankind wants to pull out the sins that is big in his eyes, and he wants to point the finger with what he thinks is a big sin. Well, there's somebody else over there somewhere looking at your life, and they're pointing out your big sin. So we could point fingers at everybody. We're not in the finger-pointing business. That's why he told us not to judge each other. We all stand before God. We all stand before the God of the universe, the one who knows us and made us and who wants us to have what he wants us to have, and that is not the law that kills and stones and dies. That's not it at all. He wants to reveal another sin. So they were looking at her sin, the accusers were. They were looking at hers, and Jesus stood and looked at theirs. That's why I said somebody is looking. I'd rather Jesus look at mine than you. I saw a whole lot of relieved faces right there. I would whole lot rather him look than I would you. Man has no mercy. But God does. And I am so, so glad for that. So he's revealing their sin. So their sin was that they didn't believe. Their sin was that they were so deceptive in what they were doing. You know, the Pharisees and scribes were totally deceptive. And so he says, now I want you to look at where you are. You're a person who don't have a belief in what I'm saying. You're deceitful. There's a whole lot of other things, but I'll stop it right there. So Jesus came to deal not with just their sin or her sin. When Jesus came on the scene, he came to deal with your sin and your sin and my sin and their sin and their sin, and no one is left out. So when he came to deal with all man's sin. Man wants to point out God didn't go there. Who sees it? Who sees the sins? All of them, not just the ones we want to see. Who sees them all? I'm going to tell you. The heart-searching eye of God himself. Did you catch that? The heart-searching eye of God himself. That's who sees. That's who really sees. By the way, that same one is one who forgives too. Aren't you glad? So he's revealing their sin. Now in verse 9, 8 and 9, let's put 8 and 9 together. In verse 8 and 9 he says, and again he stooped down. So twice now he stooped down and wrote on the ground. put his finger back in the ground, in the dust of the ground, because that was a connection between him and his creation of those, everybody that was standing around him that day. He created them all. He created those judgers. He created the ones who were blaming her for all of her bad life. Did you catch that? He created everything, everybody. So there wasn't any difference to him. When he put his finger in the ground, he was connecting to all of them. They came from the dust of the ground. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted, thank the Lord for conviction, and by their own conscience, and went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So here's the conviction. Judged by God himself. But to us he says, judge not that ye be not judged. In judging the woman, they find that in his very presence, they too are being judged. So the next time you feel like in your humanity you want to judge another person, please think, I'm being judged for what I'm doing by judging another person. Don't pick and choose what should be judged. So here's what was happening. Watch her. So Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in her midst. She felt something she'd never felt before. She evidently had a lifetime of this, and they knew that. The scribes and Pharisees knew that. They picked her out. She was probably down there on the corner. And they knew her. And they drug her in because she was convenient to do so. Sometimes all you got to be is convenient for someone else to look with their nasty eyes and come up with a sin they can take before God and say, look at this, God, I'm better than this. Now just think about where she's standing. Don't you? Standing in the midst of the Almighty God of heaven. That's why they walked away. That's why they walked away. They were in the midst of a holy God. And when we stand in the midst of a holy God, everything about our life is going to show up. It's better than an LED flashlight. And until they come out with something better than an LED, LED's it. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, forgiveness had taken place already. Did you catch that? You don't get her saying, Jesus, forgive me. You don't get her saying that. But you sure do feel it. Don't you? Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She was standing there totally free. Wasn't anything there to bother her right now. Her accusers were gone. That didn't mean that she didn't do the sin. She did the sin. But it was gone. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Repenting is a wonderful thing. If there's no repentance, there's no forgiveness. She was sorry for what she did. But you don't hear a word from her, do you? Until the Lord asked her. Where are you condemners now? Where are your accusers now? If I could say it in my own, she'd say, it doesn't matter, Lord. You've shown me where I need to be. I'm not living under their law anymore. I'm under grace. I'm where you are. And not that I didn't do the sin. I did, Lord. Oh, but do I feel forgiveness? Now, if you think you can abuse that forgiveness, think again. You can't. You shouldn't even go there. You shouldn't even want to abuse that forgiveness. She didn't. She said, he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. No man now was accusing her. No man was condemning her. There was a confession here. And there's salvation. When you read it, you see a story of salvation. It's all over these verses of Scripture. But I got a feeling that when she looked at the Lord, she just adored Him. Don't you believe so? She just adored Him because nobody had done this for her before. No one. She loved Him so much right now. She didn't want to walk away. They had to walk away. She didn't. And she didn't. She stayed. I don't know what she did after this. I got a feeling she was the best witness anywhere, everywhere. I got a feeling she went into every town that she could to win souls. She could have been like the woman at the well. I got to tell you, there's somebody up there who can tell you everything you ever did. But I can tell you this, that if you'll repent of your sin, He'll forgive them and they'll be gone. You won't have to deal with this anymore. How good it is to be saved. Let's bow our heads. Saved by grace through faith. Not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh. By the love and the power of God, He changes our lives. Lord, we're so thankful. So grateful today for Your grace. The amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Thank You for opening the eyes of those accusers. And thank You, Lord, for opening the eyes of that sweet, dear lady, that she could know You as Savior of the world and Savior of her life. And whatever You have done here this morning already, and whatever You will do, I praise You for it. And I praise You in the name of Jesus Christ, Your precious Son. Amen. Let's stand if you can. And we're going to sing a verse of this song. What? Softly and tenderly, you probably know the words. This is the way He speaks to us. The law would scream at you, demand from you, not Him. He touches your heart with a soft, gentle touch. But He opens your eyes with a thunderbolt. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Thank You, Tom. I want to thank the Holy Spirit for His presence in this room today. I want to thank Him for the presence of everyone who came to to be in the service. I hope you're leaving knowing that you were in the house of God and that your heart's been touched. I would never want your mind to be touched over your heart. I want our hearts to be touched. And if you will come back tonight, would you? At 6 o'clock? You know what I'm going to say. Let's do something we've never done before. Let's all come back. Okay? And I think there's going to be a few more people who wanted to come because it was the fifth Sunday night singing. Okay? So please come back tonight at 6 o'clock. And Pam wants to meet with those who are meeting with the Trunk or Treat, because that's not just a Halloween thing, folks. I hope you know that. This is a ministry, and we're going to touch the lives of some people. I was out yesterday looking for kids, and I found three homes. Didn't know there were kids, except that in the yard there was everything that pertained to a kid. Dead giveaway. So if the preacher's looking for kids, just go to the houses where all the playthings are. Okay? And I found kids, and I gave them the flyers that we had, and I got some excitement about coming because it's in our vicinity over near the Fairmont school area. And so let's just pray about that. And if you know some other kids between now and tomorrow night, encourage them to come. It's going to be a good time. And for all the adults, I hope you'll come too. You won't recognize me, but that's okay. I'm not going to be scary, but I will be different. Okay? So y'all come back. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Brother Nick, would you dismiss us in prayer, sir?
Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. I know that I'm thankful for that, Lord God. God, we thank you, God, for giving us